Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday the 5th of October, which is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Wherever you are listening, you are very welcome, and we consider you not only to be a listener, but a participant, because as we're listening to the conversation that we might have in this room today, you also have your own ideas, your own reflections, and if you add those in the comments, it will help us to encourage those who are reading, those who are preaching, and anyone who is preparing for this Sunday. So, who do we have in the conversation today?
Kia ora tātou. My name is Catherine Gibbs, and I live in Lower Hutt.
Kia ora tātou. My name is Kath Petrie. I live in Devonport in Auckland. I work in a local parish, and I used to be a teacher.
Kia ora, my name is Alex, and I work in the Bishop Partial Office for the Diocese of Christchurch. I'm married, and we have three children.
Wonderful. It's interesting to hear how you all introduce yourselves. Each time you put a slightly different slant on things, but my sense is that you all downplay what you do. I was just thinking, Kath, for you to simply call yourself someone who was a teacher really downplays your role. As with you, Catherine and Alex, this morning, as we record this, we have a clergy day, and who were we all sitting there patiently as priests of Christchurch listening to an hour ago? Alex, speaking about homilies. Let's begin in prayer. Let's begin with a moment of realizing that we're not trying to twist the arm of a God that we wrongly perceive to be distant, but we are opening our souls to the reality of divine life in the present. Whatever is part of your present today, the ups and downs, the joys, the hopes, the griefs, the anxieties for yourself, but also remembering those we love, because their anxieties and struggles are very much part of our own. And let's begin with the entrance antiphon for this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will, for you have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are Lord of all. Amen.
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 It's not a bad beginning. People are saying, why do you always begin with the entrance antiphon and finish with the collect? Well, these are texts that are part of the Sunday liturgy, so it helps us to have heard it before the Sunday, as we will at the end of this podcast. I mentioned, Alex, that you were talking to priests about homilies.
Yes, that's right.
And I think now that I've said that, people are going to be interested, since this is the homilies. Give us one point that was really that you think a key point from the survey among people that you communicated to us from the results of.
Yeah, so the context is that we did a survey asking parishioners to sort of evaluate the experience of how their priests are celebrating Mass, as well as how they're preaching during homily. So that's sort of the context. And one of the key takeaway, I suppose, in terms of homily, is that our parishioners want something that helps them to bring the Word of God into their daily lives. Something that's practical, something that helps them to live a life of discipleship, something that helps them continue their journey with the Lord in the midst of all the chaos of daily life, maybe.
Well, now there's a challenge for us. It's interesting, Alex, you presented along with Matt O'Connell, who's also part of the office, and then you went and left us priests to it. You presented, we sensed, in a very positive way, but in fact, and I'm reading from one of your PowerPoint slides, 28% of those practicing Catholics who were consulted say that the priest helps to make the gospel practical, relatable, and relevant. 28%. That's very small, we thought. This really is a pretty big challenge for us. So, what are we going to say this morning in the homily studio? What are we saying today in the homily studio that's going to help the homily to be more practical, relatable, and relevant? Who's ready to go? Kath, you're ready to go. I can see by the lack of...
I've made some notes here. Well, I mean, all the readings today or for Sunday are about faith. And, even the word faith is hard to define. We thinking back to when I was growing up and the credo was in Latin, and, we knew what we believed in because it was all said out in that way. As I've grown older, I realize that God is a God of my little understanding. I need to I question, I think, more and more the things that perhaps I have always accepted. And I can't help in my faith but be influenced by the world around me. And reading the first reading from the prophet Habakkuk, I thought how much like this world he is experiencing and how much I identify with his complaint against the Lord. Why do you allow all these things to happen? This wrongdoing, this violence, this destruction. Why won't you answer?
Okay, Keith, you've used the key word, I think, of particularly today's gospel reading, the word faith. I think we'll be helping those who are preparing for Sunday if we really try to come to a deeper understanding of what faith is, which we might do by saying what it isn't, too. Do you want to give us a word, Keith, or we come back to you, or Catherine, or Alex? Do you want to start with that? What is faith?
Trust.
Oh, you
Trust
trust.
trustworthy or good.
Alex, what did you drop in there? I missed it.
No. One thing that has been really helpful for me, it's the catechism definition of faith, which really surprised me when I first read it. It says faith is first of all a personal adherence to God, and then after that, then it talks about believing all that God has revealed, right? So there's sort of two parts to it. But the first part, a personal adherence to God, that really struck me because it means that my first thought is that my faith is about clinging to God. It's about committing or sort of abiding, remaining with Him, about clinging to Him throughout the day. And so it's sort of what we believe. The content of faith is sort of more secondary. It's important. It's sort of secondary. The first is about how are we clinging to God? How are we trusting to God? And I found it really, really helpful, even in my own prayer life. I could just sit and be with the Lord, and that is already an act of faith, if you can put it that way, right? Because I'm trying to cling to Him and being with Him.
Catherine.
Yes, both Kath and Alex, yes, trust and a personal adherence to God. I've thought about week because that's the core message from these reading. All the messages, they're all coherently about faith, faithfulness, and faithful service. And one of the images that stuck with me was to compare faith with my heartbeat or air that we're surrounded with, or the regular cycle of night and day. These are things that we accept and acknowledge as gift of all that is Christ with us. It happens and it's there. And it's the hope that we have, like the seeds in the gospel, like it's what will be. That's we hope that from our faith there we hope that we will be able to nurture the seed that has been planted with us, planted in us. The line that struck me that links with that was in Habakkuk, God will not disappoint. I've been saying that over and over this week. God will not disappoint. Increase our faith because God will not disappoint. And in Habakkuk, of course, it describes how that we have to trust in God's timing, the timing of this is not our own. It is in God's time.
I wonder if I were to ask anyone who's listening, what is faith? What would your response be? Like, if you had half a minute or so to say, to respond to that question, what is faith? I wonder what you would say. It's interesting that this is that the followers of Jesus, the first apostles, have a sense that their faith is not enough. Like, they begin by saying, increase our faith. And the Lord responds by completely dismissing their question, basically saying, look, you've misunderstood the whole thing because you think you haven't got enough. But if your faith were the size of a mustard seed, you could do anything. So what Jesus is saying is, it's not about quantity. Faith is not a quantity. And I wonder if I think it's helpful to link it back to your breath or life thing, Catherine. Maybe, like, if we were to respond to a question, are you breathing? Well, we would laugh and say, well, yes. Well, maybe have you got faith is the same question. It's a yes or no. It's not about quantity. And I think when we think, if I had more faith, my life would be easier. No, that's not true. Because life was pretty difficult, even to execution, for the closest followers of Jesus. So having faith doesn't magically take away all of life's problems or sufferings. But again, your point, you've made it, Kath, but also Alex has said this. It's about Alex, you say the fundamental definition in the catechism links us back to our clinging to God. What were the exact words there, Alex?
Adherence, a personal
Adherence.
adherence to God.
Wow. And I think that can only happen. We can only adhere to God if we have a sense that God is already adhering to us. And that's what the incarnation is. God has come to us, is with us, and is for us, and is alongside us, no matter what's going on. And notice that we have not mentioned yet the very fact that most people think their faith is weak because they don't go to church. Nothing like that has been mentioned. It's not about primarily or initially religious practice. We're talking about our adherence to God, God's adherent to us. Now, many things, including religious practice, follow from that, I'm sure. Am I on the wrong track or confusing?
No, I think that clinging that Alex mentioned comes through in the reading to Timothy too. At the end of that reading, hold on
No.
to the standard of sound teaching in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Because, as you say, John, faith is not measured out in quantitative amounts, and it's not a one-off event. It's something that requires continuous work to be tended to and to be built on. And that's what Paul is urging Timothy to do. So I guess another irrelevant question would be, well, how do we use the little faith that we have to build it?
Is it like maybe someone falling in love for the first time? Their life is transformed, their behavior is transformed, the falling in love is what transforms the behavior and the words. So maybe the question, how do we do this, is not as important as, am I doing this? Is my behavior, as the second reading reminds us, evidence that I am a person of faith? If it's not, if I am struggling with the keeping of the details of the commandments, the church teaching, whatever it is, if I am struggling with, is that evidence that I don't actually realize the extent to which Jesus is clinging to me and I am clinging to Jesus? Because if I know that, my sense is everything else has transformed. Every word spoken, every behavior has transformed.
Yeah, I think we spoke about the question, what is faith, or what's the definition of faith? But I think it's also worth pondering what is the experience of faith, right? And I think the readings has been really helpful to answer that question, and it's been really encouraging for me anyway, Because you mentioned, John, about how often when we feel a lack of faith or we feel the need to ask the Lord to increase our faith, we sort of, again, maybe this, I'm sort of speaking on my own experience, is that when I ask for faith, I sort of expect that, right, I'm experiencing some difficulty, some hardship. If I have more faith, things would be better, right? Or things I would feel less anxious or less worried and so forth. And because of that, we feel that we don't have enough faith. But yet, when you look at the first reading, Habakkuk, it says, "How long, O Lord, am I to cry for help?" Now, obviously, the prophet was he had faith, but yet he somehow is still living in the midst of suffering, if I put that way, right? And whereas how is that sense where the Lord doesn't take away those suffering, but rather he comes and be with us in the midst of those sufferings. And we sort of continue to carry on and clinging to him despite those suffering. And the same with the gospel and how we're asked to continue doing the good works, if put it that way, and continue to cling to him regardless of, and sort of in some ways not expecting consolation, if you put it that way. I'll just share one more line and I'll stop. Is this we were at the clergy formation and we were doing our mid-morning prayer, and what stood out for me in that prayer is this in the psalm. It says, I'll have it, "Your command has become my song in the land of exile." Your command has become my song in the land of exile. So in a sense where in a time of difficulty or suffering, I continue to trust that the Lord is clinging to me and I continue to do my work. You know what I mean? And yeah,
Great,
I'll
Alex.
stop there.
Catherine.
I think yes, Alex, all of that. Our faith is countercultural, it can be hard in our current context at times. And the reading from Paul helps us in that he's saying, stand strong in the spirit. He's saying, guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and not to be cowards, and to stand up and have some courage, knowing that God is with us, and be on fire for the Lord, which is all fine. But if we can find times in our daily lives when it may be hard to speak up or have a bit of courage to say something about our faith when our faith is challenged, to draw on that knowledge that this is a requirement of us as believers, that we don't deny the presence of God in our lives, even though there would be people who might laugh at us or just walk away and think we're just, holy people or whatever. I just think I was thinking about way back at the beginning, you were referring to how you were talking to the priest this morning, and the people were wanting something practical. And perhaps if I can just offer a couple of practical things about how we might increase our faith. Making time for prayer, I think, is one. I think more to the point for me that I would be about locating people who are heart people, and avoid toxic people, and avoid people who are even tolerable. Try and to find people who listen, and who you can listen to and learn from, who don't put you down for what you believe. And learning from different sources. This is a little plug here, because I was thinking about the Kaupapa of Food for Faith. This is a resource. This online ministry is a resource for people who might be looking for ways to increase our faith. I'll finish the ad there.
I'm just reminded in listening to all of you that Faith doesn't stand alone. It's one of the three cardinal virtues, and the others are hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. So we grow our faith by also clinging on to hope. And faith and hope both demand some kind of love in action. There's a picture in the paper today of four priests in Auckland, Anglican and Catholic, who are chained to a political office on the North Shore. And the signs that they are holding say, love demands action. So I think faith demands action in love and in hope. We could easily lose hope as easily as we can lose faith because we live in a world that encourages us to just despair and forget what it means to be human.
I think
But
I'm
if we do that,
yeah.
we lose the chance to grow.
I want to just emphasize again the point that we made earlier, that if we can often look at the cardinal virtues, and it's very important, I think, Kath, that you've put faith in the context also of hope and charity. But I think we can become ourselves the protagonist in our lives. We say, I must be more faithful, I must be more hopeful, I must be more loving. And I think these virtues, faith, hope, and love, are the things that we look at in our lives to see if I am aware that I am being, again, Alex, I've forgotten that word, I am being adhering to. Is that right?
Adherent, yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. A personal
So
adherence.
if I want to know if I'm adhering to Christ, knowing that Christ's adhering to me, the way that I measure this is by looking at the degree to which I feel faithful or the degree to which I am faithful, hopeful, or charitable. So these are the things, not that I've got to try harder to do this. And I think too many homilies, unfortunately, exhort people to be more loving, more charitable, rather than say, ah, these are a symptom. Maybe I need to come right back to, am I clinging to Christ alone? Do I know that Christ is adhering to me? And when I know that, everything else shifts so that our prayer becomes not so much praying about how can I be more charitable, how can I be more loving or hopeful. Our prayer is more about returning to that space of adherence, mutual adherence. And you see, when we know that, I immediately leave that prayer more faithful, more filled with hope, and more able to love even the most difficult people. Does that make sense? Do you?
I think that's a really good point, John, because I think sometimes in spiritual life, or we can get into this mindset where I need to grow in virtue, I need to be more virtuous and so forth. It almost feels like we're trying to be more independent on our own, right? That we can do things on our own. But the Christian faith, again, coming back to this definition of faith of adherence, rather, that's a wrong way around. It's like everything that we do is only measured in how far it helps us to cling to God, right? And so in the midst of suffering, the Lord can leave us there because it helps us to cling more to Him. You know what I mean? And or yeah, I think everything is about helping us, a means to help us to cling, to adhere to Him more and more, in our lives. So I think that focus is really good.
Look, already we are ready for a take home.
I think in that clinging, the focus is on God, not on me. God is God is God, and God is not me, and it's not us. God is God is God, and is in everything around us, the world that we see, the people that we meet, the miracles that we experience every day.
God is God is God. That'll stay with me, Kath.
Well, it actually comes from a Steve Earle song, and I'll put the link for the lyrics in with the which my brother sent to me in the middle of a rambling email. The opening line of the song is, "I believe in prophecy. Some folks see things that not everybody can see, and once in a while they pass the secret along to you and me.
I
And I
mean,
believe in miracles."
Kath, send a
I
link. I'll
believe
add
in
the song
God.
below.
I will.
Catherine,
I
take a
think for me, I'd like people to be thinking really easily, simply about faithful service, because that was the core message of the gospel story. And for me, I cannot get over that the oldie but a goodie from Prophet Micah, you know. All that God asks of me is to act justly, love faithfully, and walk humbly with your God. That is the best definition I can think of as faithful service.
Alex.
Yeah, I think for me, coming back to that call that to the Lord is asking us to live by faith, meaning that even if we don't feel His presence, even if we don't experience His presence, to know that He is close to us, that He's clinging to us, that He wants to journey, whatever that we're going through, together. Yeah, and I think that's that, life of faith that he's calling us to.
That's great. That's powerful. I think for me, the take home would be, I'm in the middle of preparing my homily for this weekend, a re-clarification of what faith is and what faith isn't. Like, faith isn't my lack of doubt and my confidence. Faith is my adherence to God and God's adherence to me. First of all, God's adherence to me, of course, because that's the starting point. And faith then is my return. So what I would encourage people in prayer this week, if you haven't tried it already, just in times of prayer, whether they be a minute or two or as you're driving even, turn the music off, turn the podcasts or that off, and simply say, Jesus, do I know that you are adhering to me? Jesus, tell me how, what is lacking in my adherence to you. Again, let him be the protagonist in every question. So I'm also not the judge of how I'm doing. Jesus, you tell me how I'm doing in my adherence, my response to you. And I'm pretty sure that you'll see life change in the hours that follow that renewed awareness. Again, let's turn to prayer. Grateful that in this conversation and the other conversations that you will have, perhaps as a result of listening to this podcast, we will be more aware of the presence in action, the adherence of Jesus to us to Jesus in every moment, as we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.